It's found in John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And boy, we see a lot of that in the world, don't we? Everywhere we look, that's so true. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, I'm so thankful tonight that God has blessed me to know Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, and to live this abundant life. And I look at my life crowned with so much tender mercy and loving kindnesses, and I'm just praising God and thanking Him all the time that my life just seems to get richer and richer in Jesus Christ. You know, that's something the world can never take away from you. It'll never be broken. It'll never be dysfunctional. You have an abundant life in Jesus Christ tonight. And everything that you possess in Jesus tonight, the world can't touch it. Now, we have this abundant life because of what God says through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3 and in verse 24. He says, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." You know, I look at God's people, we're just a bunch of fallen sinners. There was nothing in us that could ever move God to set His love upon us, was there? Not a thing. So then, how did He justify us? Well, this verse tells us that the whole moving cause was God's grace. He set His love upon us, and He justified us by His grace. But you know, He says something else in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. He says, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Now, John Gill says this is the meritorious cause of justification. Because you see, you didn't have any merit. And I didn't have any merit. And when you define that word merit, it's simply talking about someone who's worthy of praise and reward. And that's Jesus Christ to the T. All the merit was in Christ. So the Father justified us on the basis of the blood and merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He comes down here in Romans chapter 4, and He tells us in verse 25, "Who was delivered," that is Jesus, "for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification." So we've got the grace of God, and we've got the blood of Christ, and we've got the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And when you put all that together, you'll see a love of a God set upon His people, where He could send His Son and He could die for our sins, having a righteous life, and all of the merit that could meet the wrath of a holy God and survive it all and render unto Him a redemption that satisfied God Almighty. That's what Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." What that means is this: had there been one thing left undone, had there been one thing that did not satisfy God Almighty, Jesus would have never come out of the grave. But because God raised Him from the dead, beloved, He was satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ. And now that work is your work. And you stand before God righteous in the eyes of Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I tell you, that's something we live every day, because the devil's always trying to trip us up. He's always trying to make us feel like we're condemned and we're guilty. But I tell you, dear brethren, Jesus says in John chapter 13 that you're clean every whit, and the only thing you've got to do is wash your feet in this dirty world we live in, because Jesus has washed us whiter than snow. Now, that's something we live with every day. We have something that's a wonderful knowledge that can never be taken away from us, and that is this: Jesus Christ, by His blood, by His death, became the merit for my redemption and my salvation and my justification before God Almighty. And so when you look at Romans chapter 8, I'm probably over my 4 minutes, but just give me one more. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30 says, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate." Now, he's talking about something long ago, wasn't he? Past tense. "Them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." Now, that's kind of strange language, isn't it? Because I'd love to be in the glorified body right now, but I'm not, and neither are you. So what's he talking about? These things that are in the past tense. Because Peter could tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ was set forth as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So sure in the mind and purpose of God was the death of His Son that He already had justified us and glorified us in His mind and in His purpose in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You have that tonight in Jesus Christ. He comes on down here and he says, verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Now this 33rd verse is what I want. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" It won't stick. The devil's laying all kinds of charges against us, but they won't stick. Why will they not stick? Because God the Father has already justified His people on the basis of what His Son has accomplished. He says it is God that justifieth. It's not me that justifies myself. And so then when you turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, you'll find that my faith does not justify me before God. He's already done that. So what does it do? It allows me to believe. What is the gospel? Is it not good news? Does it not come and tell us what God has already done on the basis of His Son, Jesus Christ? And so faith enables me to believe the declaration that God has already given. And brother, when we believe that and enter into it, oh, what a joy it is to be able to see that my life has been justified by the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I can live my life, as James says, working out this in acts of loving kindness and deeds to others. You know, Martin Luther hated James. He cut the whole book out of his Bible because he could not reconcile James's position on faith that justifies through works and Paul's justification by faith. But they harmonize beautifully, because we manifest that we have been justified by the works of our life. They do not justify us before the Lord. They simply manifest to other people what God has done in our life. Now, that's something all the brokenness and dysfunction of this world can never take away from you. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you are justified tonight.